CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, it's all happening, everybody. Good morning. The month of May has begun. It's the 1st of May, 2020. 6 years ago today, we launched CliffCentral.com. Had our first show ever. It was the first proper streaming and podcast live show. I think we broke the record that day for the total number of live streams on any platform ever. I don't think it's ever been broken since. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. That's the dirty little secret of the whole thing, is that we actually had no idea what was happening. And this morning is kind of no different, because if you told me 6 years ago that for our sixth birthday we would be celebrating, in inverted commas, during a lockdown in which 98% of the country would be sitting at home, trying to work from home, trying to educate their own children, running around because of this fearful disease, I would have said to you, no, you're crazy. Take your predictions and shove them up your ass, because I'm not interested. And yet, here we are. So this morning, I'm in the studio live, which felt kind of good this morning, I have to tell you. I hit the roads at the usual time that I would, you know, before, pre, what do they call it, BC, before coronavirus.
Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, they're calling it BC. And I got in the car, and there were very few other cars on the road, but it wasn't like a ghost town. It wasn't as if I didn't encounter a single car on the way. In fact, on the highway, en route here, there were a lot of cars. In fact, every step of the way, there was at least a pair of lights somewhere that was moving, which shows you that people are, even though it's a public holiday today, as well as being the first of a new month and the first day of level four, it seems people are busy, man, and they've got stuff to do. Delivery trucks are moving around, and that's good. I'm not afraid, and I don't think you should be either. I know lots of people, you know, there's an article written this week by Mandy Wiener, who we interviewed at the beginning of this week, in which she calls the coronavirus it almost has a psychological effect similar to Stockholm syndrome. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
So you almost start to love your captor, and in this case, your captor is the virus. You fall in love with it because it's a bit of a nunu blanket. It makes you feel safe. Mm. Venturing out into the real world becomes scary and all of that stuff. So people actually start to project genuine Stockholm syndrome as a result of this coronavirus and having been stuck at home for a month, or a little bit more than a month now, it's 5 weeks. So it's very interesting to observe all of these things happening. But it is our birthday. I am live in the studio, and Bulelo is here with me. Sia is at the Sia Sangweni home studio in Durban. Leanne Moll, I think, is in her house in Joburg. We'll connect to them in a moment and see what's going on with both of them. And we are here to look after you this morning, to hopefully get you through the day. And if you are one of those people who woke up early this morning because you've got important things to do, well, good for you. And that's why we're doing this, not just because it's our birthday, but happy birthday to us. We'll also be checking in with a bunch of people who are part of the show and have been part of the show from virtually the get-go. We'll be speaking to Damon. We'll be speaking to Michael Flax. We'll be speaking to, oh man, there's a whole shitload of people that Sia's arranged for us this morning. Amanda, Gugu, Nolo, Arie, who was here right at the beginning too. George Meany's going to check in with us later, so it's going to be a busy show. And then it has to be addressed because yesterday I wrote a blog which is sort of going viral at the moment. It appears it's been picked up by lots and lots of people, and it's spreading around like wildfire, which is either a sign that it's really good or it's really controversial, or both. But it actually almost crashed our server last night. We had so many people logging on to read it. So I'm pleased about that. Sometimes you read the zeitgeist right, and sometimes you don't. And I think the zeitgeist is, interestingly enough, changing, and it's turning against government at this point. I think people have had enough. They're starting to look at this virus with less fear and trepidation and amygdala response, and much more of a reasoned, thoughtful attitude. And people also starting to realize that everything in life is a trade-off. Everything. If you leave your house, yes, you could be hit by a bus. that you can't stay in your house forever because otherwise you'll never explore the world. You could just subsist on vegetables grown on a small patch of ground, or you could buy other products. The danger is that if you go out there into the real world, you could get robbed. You could catch a disease. You might interact with hostile human beings. These are some of the things that, you know, these are the trade-offs you make on a daily basis. And I think people are starting to go, you know what? These are trade-offs I'm prepared to make now. And as we discussed yesterday on the show, which we went on a bit, you know, at length, Mbulelo and I have the tendency to do this, and poor Sia was caught in the crossfire. But it's interesting because we have this an immediate reaction to anything like this is fear. Even I admit that, like at the beginning of this, and remember, I went to a wedding in KZN the weekend before they locked us down. And I was still saying, this is bullshit. It doesn't affect us. It's no, you know, tiny, tiny death rate. It's stupid to lock down. You remember,
mm-hmm.
I was very vocal about that, as I am about anything. I don't hold back. And then I suddenly, once lockdown happened, I started to, that attitude changed and I reformed a little bit. And I took it seriously and I thought, well, if this thing is as bad as they say it is, then we've got to be careful. We've got to shelter in place. We've got to do the right thing. You got to, you know, we did that with the company. We sent everyone home, made contingency plans. And then we sat and waited to see what would happen next.
You engaged with the stakeholders.
Stakeholders. Yes, and they use that word a lot now. Have you heard government?
Oh, my God.
Yo, stakeholders. Everywhere, stakeholders. And then you get to a point where you're like, screw this. This is stupid. So I'm right back where I started.
Oh, have you come full circle?
Yeah, now I'm thinking this is stupid.
Wow.
So there we are. I don't know.
It's been a roller coaster.
I didn't see any cops on the road this morning. I didn't see any army anywhere. It may as well just have been either a quiet December morning or a public holiday at any other time of the year. That's what it felt like on the roads. So I don't know. I'm really at a point where I'd like to see things return to normal. I'm sure we all would. And don't give me that crap about, well, let's rather make a new normal. That's inevitable. You don't have an option in that. So there's plenty we can do. Sia, can you hear me now? Loud and clear? Can you just unmute your mic and let's say hello to you? See what you're up to this morning. Sia Sangweni is live in the Sangweni Mansion in Durban, where he is currently ensconced with the family. And of course, there is this rule that you can make at the moment that if you want to travel back to work.
See what you're up to this morning.
Oh. Good morning.
Ah, hello, Sia. How are you doing? Now, why am I hearing myself?
The mansion.
Yeah, the CSI, the Sangweni Mansion. Let me just see if I can mute myself on here. Oh, I am muted. That's so weird. So I'm hearing myself in the background. So, Sia, you're all right? How's it going over there on the 1st of May? Happy birthday to us. How are you doing? It's like a hell of a delay on this line. It's so weird. We've been doing this fine from my house for the last couple of days. In fact, I don't know if you noticed, but the last 2 days especially, in fact, the whole of this week, you could say, we've had terrific sound. Now, yeah, I'm definitely hearing a bit of feedback happening here. It's very irritating.
Okay, that's a little weird. If you can hear me.
I can hear you, but it's massive.
It's a little confusing.
It's massively delayed. It's like it's going through the whole computer system, and then it's coming through the desk as well. So I don't know what that means. Maybe it's because we've set it up so that it would all come through my laptop on the other side first, which I think is what's happening. Anyway, we'll figure this out as we go. It's going to make things a little bit more difficult than usual, but we'll make a plan. Cliffcentral.com. It is 16 after 6. So the blog that I put on, as I said, getting a lot of traction this morning, and it's making people, for good or for bad reasons, sit up and take notice. So yesterday we got some messages already in early to wish us a happy birthday. Here's one from Rama, who says, guys, Apparently, it's your birthday tomorrow. That's today, obviously. And happy birthday. Hey, Gareth, your podcast this morning was amazing. My husband and I were discussing self-governance last night, and people need to take responsibility for their own lives and themselves. Our freedom is all we have. So many people are quick to give it away to a corrupt government. And yes, Venezuela, Nuff said. As for the education department, homeschool is becoming a more appealing option. Well, on that note, I've just got to say that homeschooled kids are always very weird. I know some people don't like to hear that, but if you're a homeschooled kid, you probably are a little bit weird. The parents of homeschooled kids are also usually just a little bit strange. You know, it used to be people who wanted to keep their kids out of the system. In other words, people who were already isolating. Those people are the ones who would put their kids into homeschooling. And so you would end up having a situation where those would be the people who would raise these bizarre children because they themselves were bizarre. And I have noticed that homeschooling is likely to become an option for far larger a percentage of the population. But in doing so, we're probably going to encounter a whole lot more weird people. You know, you have to be socialized. So this tends to remove the real life connection that kids develop between each other at schools. Oh, interesting. I was reading an article just this morning. This is fresh out of America. It's a day and a half old. That they've looked at the situation with kids transferring COVID-19 to parents and to other adults. Very scant evidence that it's even possible for kids to pass this on to adults. Now, isn't that fascinating? That means, and I mean, again, there's not one single documented case. You can check all the data. Don't take my word for it. Not one single documented case of a person under the age of, I think they said 14, who has passed this on to adults. That not only means that children are far more resilient, because the number of deaths, it's a handful of deaths in children below the age of 14 all over the world. Tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of a percentage of young people who've died. And now we're finding out the new information from a day and a half ago is that it looks like kids cannot pass this thing on to adults. Now, that changes the whole game. That means that we could effectively reopen schools. We could let kids visit their grandparents, even if their grandparents are compromised. And this could be a very great piece of news for people who are still afraid, you know, that this disease is going to wreak havoc in their lives as if it hasn't already and disrupt even more relationships. So it's a very strange set of affairs, but that's happening now. And scientists also in the U.S. are rapidly ramping up efforts to develop a vaccine. In fact, the Trump administration has got something called Warp Speed. That's Operation Warp Speed, which they're busy putting into action now, which is set to be like a Manhattan Project. You remember that was the project that developed the world, the bomb during World War II, the atomic bomb. It's on the scale of the Manhattan Project, this thing that's going on with them. So that's quite extraordinary. And if that's the case, we could, according to the administration in the U.S., we could have a vaccine which could be rolling out at least in the United States, enough of it to all the population of the United States, which would technically immunize them. If enough people have taken the vaccine, then it does the same as herd immunity by September. Which would be terrific news. I know it feels like a long way away, but it's already May. And when we started this nonsense, it was, a week left of March. So technically, because we started lockdown on the 26th of March. So, you know, we've got the month of May, June, July, August. So it's another 3 months. But I don't think we're all going to be sitting at home for 3 months. I don't think that's possible. I don't think there's any way that we can do that. So I'm looking at what's going on here. Apparently this current configuration that we've got to get CR on the line is very, very complicated. So we're going to try and get hold of him on Skype instead. And then, I got a picture from Greg, who's our station manager, our managing, director here. He's just sent me a picture of our first cake, which Crystal from Sensational Sugar, she's actually moved to New Zealand now, but Crystal from Sensational Sugar made this amazing cake for us for our first birthday. Which was really special. It was like of a radio on one side with a big chain So that's all been disrupted, and we've disrupted the broadcasting business. Shame, I saw yesterday that Associated Media, which is the Raffaele family, you know, Jane Raffaele, who is the matriarch who started the business, and her daughter Julia, who took it over, and there was another daughter called Vanessa. I don't know that she was any good at anything, but Jane and Julia, terrific people with real vision, and the two of them brought in titles that have helped countless numbers of men and women to doubt their sexual abilities. You know, orgasm article after orgasm article. I'm talking, of course, of Cosmopolitan magazine, which was a Bible for many people, including for Sia, funnily enough. He told us that yesterday. But Associated Magazines, the latest news from them is that they're actually going to close down. They're going out of business, which is sad, because anytime any media publication goes out of business, except the Huffington Post, I'm sad. So, you know, I think that the Raffaelis put their love, their hearts, their wallets, everything in, and tried to keep these publications alive. Cosmopolitan, I think Home and Leisure was another one. There were probably some other titles in their stable that I don't know about that aren't immediately springing to mind. But, condolences to the media franchises and the media establishment for yet another, pillar of South African independent media being wiped out by this coronavirus. And we're going to see many more of those. So while we're sitting here celebrating the sixth birthday of CliffCentral.com, the same can't be said for people who were here before us. And in traditional media times, I mean, I remember when, you know, the Associated Media people, that they employed like 100 people. And they were a big juggernaut. And obviously that kind of business cannot survive like we can, because we're nimble and we're small and we're digital. But I'm really sorry to hear that. So, Jane, I don't know if Jane's even still alive, but I know that Julia very much is, and she was trying her best to keep the business afloat during this time. And clearly that hasn't happened. Have we got Sia on Skype? Oh, very good. Sia, you there?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up? Good. It's all working.
Look, we try to make magic happen here. So here we are.
Yeah, I'm thinking I should have just stayed at home. We were working so well. You know?
Don't sweat it. You had a safe morning drive, no cops, you weren't arrested. So let's be grateful for the little things.
But you know, I was thinking about that too, because I think what's keeping a lot of people at home is that they're afraid. Because you hear, obviously, you know what people are like. They tell the stories of when bad things have happened, or they hear from a friend who had a friend who had a friend who got stopped in a roadblock.
Mm. Oh, completely.
And then they go, oh, that could happen to me. And then they shit themselves and they don't leave their house. And you're eventually going to have to break out of it. And you can't listen to just the bad news, because if you did, first of all, you wouldn't be living in South Africa anymore, because we have huge rates of organized and opportunistic crime. We have massive amounts of hijacking and robbery that happen in this country. So if you ever thought you were safe, you've been in the wrong country for the last 20 years, I'm afraid. I'm sorry to tell you. And I didn't see one cop. I didn't see one flashing blue light on the way in this morning.
Not a single one.
Not one. Huh. Yeah. So there's a lot of fear and unnecessarily paranoid nonsense going on in the world at the moment. And I think we've all got to just be more rational and realistic.
Do you think it's warranted or unwarranted, or is that even an unfair question to ask?
No, I don't think it's warranted, because again, humans pass on the bad news. So when you hear one bad story about something that happened to someone, you think, oh my God, that's going to happen to me, which is ridiculous, because that's not how it works. It's pure anecdotal evidence, and it doesn't necessarily reflect the reality. You know, even if there's 70,000 troops, as Cyril told us there are on the streets of South Africa, 70,000 in a population of 59 million is nothing. So they can't be everywhere. And they, I know you think you're special, and we all think that about ourselves. It's called solipsism. We all think we're so special. The army and the cops are not obsessed with you, trust me. They're not trying to arrest Hilda from Bryanston. You know. Okay.
But to Hilda, this is the most important thing happening to her.
Oh, no, it is. And it is important to Hilda. But what Hilda has to remember is that she's not in this on her own. And Hilda is not the sole focus of the security establishment at the moment. They do actually have a much bigger fish to fry. It's called coronavirus. So it's not about you, Hilda.
And at this point, it's great to just figure out that Hilda is an analogy for myself.
Yes, that's what I meant, really. So, I mentioned, while we were trying to get you on the line, I mentioned Associated Media. You actually got that press release. So, they used to be what? Cosmopolitan, Home and Leisure. What were the other magazines in their stable?
Woman on Wheels as well.
Bitch on Wheels?
No,
that's what I used to use that as an insult. What, there was a publication called Women on Wheels?
No, that was just a bad connection. He said Women on Wheels.
Yes,
yeah, that's what I heard.
Women.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought because as you said Women on Wheels, it went and then I heard Bitch on Wheels. That would be a hell of a funny magazine, right?
Cosmopolitan,
yeah.
House and Leisure,
yeah.
Good Housekeeping, and Women on Wheels.
I can't believe I forgot Good Housekeeping. That was always my favorite.
From the onset of the story, you were never really involved emotionally, but for some of us, it's a tragic time.
Well, why don't you just tell everybody how you have basically a library of Cosmo. It's so weird, Sia, that you would have Cosmopolitan magazine. You have boxes of them. What the hell is that all about? Because you had sisters?
Do you really think it's that weird if you think about it a little more? No, I don't. Perhaps it is the sister thing, but the content just appealed to that 14-year-old gay kid. And so where else do you find out about, like, 21 sex positions for 21 days and ridiculous things like that? I thought, this is amazing. This is like what life was all about. And
so what did it teach
I sent you guys a video.
What did Cosmopolitan teach you?
Pardon?
What did Cosmo magazine teach you?
Just frivolous.
How the orgasm
pop culture.
The orgasm was never going to be yours. Is that what it was?
Yes. Okay. It also taught me about finding the perfect bra size. I could have done without that advice, though.
Yeah, that really worked out. That was important information. Michelle sent us a message this morning to say, 6 years ago, I was in hospital with my first shoulder surgery. You guys have been keeping me sane since then. Love you long time, guys. May we share many more birthdays together, Michelle. It's 6:20 and I've passed two cyclists and a jogger at the President's House area on my way to work. That's in, Constantia?
Yeah. Newlands/Constantia there.
Yeah, that's the area. Mm. All right. Well, what we're going to do is continue to take your messages, 0797482090. And that we're just loading up the messages as we speak because we haven't been in the studio for how long? 5 weeks.
Many a lockdown.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
Does it feel weird for you to be back in your seat?
No, I mean, I'm just a little bit annoyed that things aren't technically perfect. But then that's me. That's not anything to do with anybody else. I don't know how to handle that. There are some people, believe it or not, who are hailing Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma for her stance on the tobacco ban. Somehow, there are people who believe that this is the opportunity to have a go at smokers, as if smokers aren't already second-class citizens in South Africa. You know, if you have health issues, those are your health issues, and you are welcome to do whatever you'd like in your life to prevent yourself from developing further ones. I don't smoke. I can't make this point enough. But my God, when I see people talking about smokers, like they're lepers, it drives me insane. These are adult human beings who have decided that what they want in their life is a nicotine fix. That is a perfectly reasonable decision for an adult to make. And just because you know better and you're so fucking healthy doesn't mean you get to tell everybody else what to do. If you want to do lines and lines and lines of coke, rails of coke every fucking day, that's your business.
I think the thing about smoking, unlike many of the others, is it also affects me when I'm standing near you.
So does obesity.
Yeah, but I mean,
it puts me off. It's gross. Yeah, it's revolting. And I don't go around. I'm not allowed to say to other people, you mustn't eat so much.
Yeah, but if you're obese.
Otherwise, I'm body shamed.
If you're obese, I don't get obese. If you smoke near me, now I smell like smoke.
I know.
Now it's in my lungs. So
I grew up with two parents who smoke. I cannot stand the smell of it.
Yeah.
I cannot. If even today when I go into their house and, you know, like I smell my dad's jersey or the towel that's hanging in the guest bathroom, I can smell the smoke. It drives me insane. So I'm on your side. I get that. But it's not actually doing me any more damage than carbon monoxide is in all the car parks that I walk through or driving on the highway when there's smog. We all know that these are things that we have to deal with. Again, trade-off. There's risk, there's an upside, there's a downside.
Sure, but the monoxide isn't, it's not, I'm not consciously smelling that monoxide. It's sort of on
BO?
The.
How about BO? Body odor. So a lot of people have terrible BO.
Yeah.
Are we going to now suddenly say to people that it is mandatory that you wear deodorant? Please, I'd like to see that happen. It's ridiculous.
Look, the psychoanalysts say this about it, right? Smoking is, we don't want to be seen like that. It's a piety thing. It's,
yeah.
That representation of me as a human being, it's actually, like you're saying, it's my insecurities. That's not the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people see that, that's why people are ban it, because we as the human race don't want to be seen like that. That's a dimension of it from what I've read as well. It's not just
well, who do you think has come to Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma's rescue on smoking? Who do you think?
Somizi. He needs to get back in the good books with the politicians.
He probably has.
Oh, really?
I don't know that anyone's taking his calls, but here we go. Let's see. Here's some people who are supporting her. After Ramaphosa announced the lifting of the ban on cigarettes, the ANC Women's League said cigarettes were not essential goods but posed a danger to human beings, and the lifting of the ban undermined efforts to contain the rapid spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now the ANC Women's League are medical experts.
They are not.
No.
They are not experts,
and they're all
on
obese.
On anything.
They're all obese.
Yeah.
I'm terribly sorry, but if I'm going to take health advice, it's not going to be from a bunch of people who are already a burden on our healthcare system because they fucking eat too much. The ANC Women's League.
Yeah.
It's like a herd of heifers that have not been away from the trough at any stage since 1994.
My
gosh. Boy.
Political analyst.
Gareth, I feel like you're mincing the words there.
Political analyst Mighty Jamie, we've had him on the show before, said those advocating for the sale of cigarettes were actually seeking to add fuel to the fire as smoking compromised immune systems and left smokers susceptible to the violence, to the virus. Again, is this a medical expert? No, he's a political analyst. And he probably doesn't like smoking like me or like Mbulelo or any of us. But that does not give you the right to tell other people what to do with their bodies and use a pandemic like this as an excuse to stop people from smoking. Do you know what withdrawal for them is like right now? As if they aren't going through enough. Take your own life and multiply the anxiety, the pain, the difficulty. Imagine you've got two little kids running around and you're a smoker. So you've got that added to your basket of things. Maybe you've got no job to go back to. And now you can't even have a cigarette to calm yourself down. What kind of insensitive human being would say that you should be looking after your health? Geniuses, these people who have absolutely, you talk about not having empathy. They're the same ones who, if coronavirus ends up being as big a deal as all of them have no doubt said it will be, and someone in their family dies, they're going to expect the rest of us to be empathetic. I'm going to go, well, they exposed themselves to it. why should I feel bad for them?
Yeah, they were born, so their death is a possibility.
Yes, their death is definitely inevitable. And how dare they have been walking around and going to the shops and touching things like trolleys. No wonder they've got the coronavirus.
We all have vices. I think that's important to say. If we turn into a piety contest, of course, this is what's going to happen.
It's the purity Olympics.
It is the purity.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
And you know, Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, clearly, I don't know what happened to her in her youth. That some, I don't know, there was maybe some creepy uncle who used to smoke or something, and maybe that just put her off. I'm not sure. I'm not going
to
speculate.
She was married to Jacob Zuma for how many years? That'll traumatize anyone for a lifetime.
Oh,
10 lifetimes.
Yeah, good point. Okay, fine. I can't argue with that. Can you see her?
How is that a good point and valid? You know what? Actually, who am I to speak?
Would you like to be married to Mr. Fingers? Eh? You'd like to be married to him. Can you imagine how horrible it was when he came home from a long day at the office?
Could you imagine what it's like?
Sorry, I tried to imagine what a romantic President Zuma would be like, and I just can't envision it.
I'll tell you, he'd be as tandasam. Meet me outside by the fire pool.
No, he never did an ab photo shoot in Cosmo, let me assure you.
Hey, are you excited that takeaways open again today? That's good news.
Oh, but no Nando's.
Oh, no. Why no Nando's?
For all of my carnivorous friends who are excited about that. Nando's has said that they also aren't opening just yet.
Oh, shit. That's a sadness. I'm sorry to hear that.
I know.
Oh. Nando's would have been my first place to go, actually. I'm not craving. What are you craving, sir?
Look.
What do you crave?
Oh, just some ice cream from one of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah, but see, that's not going to happen for a long ass time. And you could buy ice cream in a tub from the supermarket. I'm talking about something that other people make.
No, Gareth, it's not the same. And I actually thought perhaps there is a loophole to this. I can order this ice cream sundae on one of my food apps for delivery.
Yeah.
As I had done previously. So please just make it, just go with me on this one for a little and hope that something is available.
I think that today you're going to see like a huge run on takeaway places. Mr. Delivery, you're going to be delivering their backsides off all day today. People are just going to be, oh my God, I needed this, I needed that. Some chicken licken, some Andiccio's pizza, some Colcacchio's, some whoever you could get.
So, some people have said they're going to give it 2 days because all of the stuff that they that's not fresh is going to be sold first. And then from Monday, they...
stuff that's been in the fridge for 5 weeks.
Exactly.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it's a good plan.
Two of our team members said that's their plan.
It's like when the liquor stores reopen. I'm not going there for the first week after that, huh?
Oh my goodness!
After
they
reopen bottle stores,
seen from one of those Black Friday videos we see.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Can I just tell you, as a Xhosa man, where if there's Xhosa people in your area, because one thing Xhosa people do is drink.
The Puzaningi.
No, we've got the gene.
But so do the Zulus.
Yeah, they're not bad. But
and the Dutchmen, don't forget them.
Whew, that is going to be hectic.
Well,
when
this is everybody always says, like, what is the thing that ties South Africans together? It certainly isn't our anthem. That's controversial. It's not our 11 languages because they don't tie us together. Mm. Some people can only speak one. It's not, you know, it's obviously our shared history. But I think the thing that ties us together, frankly, is our vices. We don't like laws and rules in this country. We like to drink. We like to smoke. We like to smoke weed, frankly. There are a lot of people in this country who smoke weed. We like to break rules.
So you think those three
things?
I think
those are three things that make us South African. That's why I know that all of these regulations that are coming out of government at the moment are driving people crazy. So apparently, here's the best thing I read, and we'll get to all the headlines in a second because we've got a lot of those. But Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma, also on Wednesday, she had this pearl of advice for you. Are you ready? Are you sitting comfortably?
Let's hear it.
She said, the National Command Council was inundated with requests to open hairdressers in the country, but those who made the request to government have been left disappointed. We heard you, but that cannot be allowed. There will be no social distancing at those hairdressers. The people will be in contact with each other. It's too risky to do so, she said. She did, however, encourage people to go to the shops and buy products for themselves and do their hair in their respective homes. You can see this is someone who's never looked good in her life. And she wears a lot of very complex headdresses because she probably has horrible hair. The last time I think we saw it was like somewhere circa 1997, where she had like a slightly bouffant mini afro. But that was in the days where we had hairdressers. God alone knows what's going on under that turban of hers.
So if I hear you correctly, as the kids are saying today, you're saying haters gonna hate, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Wow. So... listen, I think hairdressers, forget about, I don't need the hairdresser that badly. My hair is long, but I can just, you know, put some product in it, as Nkosazana says, and just go to work. But the hairdressers mm-hmm. themselves cannot make a living right now. So for them, they would risk, and so would some of their customers would risk getting this non-threatening disease. And it is a non, you know, for the death rate that, by the way, CNN even revised their own, CNN, you know, they don't like going with Trump on anything, right? CNN have said what Donald Trump said 2-3 months ago, that the infection rates and the death rates are comparable to the flu. Do you remember when he said that? And it was a huge controversy. People said, oh, no, no, this is much worse. CNN have revised their position, and they made an announcement yesterday, and they're now towing the line that this is comparable to the seasonal flu. So how's that?
It's meaningless to me. CNN are not geneticists or anything. So,
so you're saying
you're not telling me a thing.
So that's like me listening to the ANC Women's League on health. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Mbulelo, then who do you listen to?
On what matters? On something this serious?
Yeah, so with the coronavirus, where's your source of information?
Sia, please say that properly.
Coronavirus!
That's right. Thank you.
Yes, so I'm fortunate to know the head of the NICD personally, so I listen to
her.
I thought it had killed you, Cardi. Get out of my studio. Yeah, you're right. Get out of here. So you know the head of the NICD. So what do you call them and bother them with your own WhatsApps all the time?
I do not. I ask
bloody well hope not.
Every now and then I'll hit her up, and there's a few guys around the world who I know who are in the sciences, and I listen to them. I'm not interested in Anderson Cooper telling me what's happening. He has no idea what a forest plot is. I have no interest in what he has to say. Like zero.
Oh.
I'm not going to panic because a bunch of people who have a BA journalist degree think they want to like whip up the world. Like forget it. Not on something this important.
But CNN is so
bad.
They're so good, Bulelo. Anyway, there are increasingly, even Fauci. So you respect him?
Highly.
Okay, so he said the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've...
So would you take his word for it, or are we going to sit and debate whether his credentials...
No, there's no debating Fauci, I'm afraid. Right. And if he's absolutely certain on that, then we'd have to go with him.
So if he says, and that's what he did say yesterday, that it's comparable to the seasonal flu... So can we all stop panicking, please? Let the hairdressers go to goddamned work. And if you want to have your hair cut, go and have your hair cut. I don't understand this paranoia. Okay, let's look at some of the other stories. Obviously, a very sad story. Struggle veteran Dennis Goldberg, who was suffering from cancer, passed away at his home in Cape Town on Wednesday night. He was 87 years old. He's a struggle veteran. He's been hailed for his care for the poor, his selflessness, and his bravery during the Rivonia trial. He made many sacrifices and years spent fighting for the freedom of South Africans. But later in his life, while battling cancer, he was not afraid to stand up and still defend the country and the hard-earned freedoms. His friend and veteran Ronnie Casrell said Goldberg was a remarkable leader who never gave up. Even when he had cancer, he had an oxygen mask in the car and he'd go out to communities. Many said his legacy of caring for the country's most vulnerable and the poor would never be forgotten. So that's rest in peace, Dennis Goldberg.
Look, I don't know if it matters to more people, but I felt so dismayed when I saw an article written about him and it said social activist.
Yeah, I think
Dennis has passed away. Well, he was not a social activist.
I mean, the guy went
he
to,
did way more than that.
He went to jail for the same stuff Nelson Mandela did. They were arrested on the same charges. Let's not forget that. His contribution was not as an activist. You know what an activist is? Someone who occasionally blogs about something or someone who goes out and organizes a street protest somewhere. That's an activist. This guy was much,
freedom
much more
fighter.
Important. He was a freedom fighter. That's fair.
Oh, yeah, we have cheapened that, eh? Because
yeah,
it's
have.
Out all the time.
I mean, I meet people who are like, I'm a Twitter activist. I mean... What?
Yeah, like you once walked a granny across the traffic light and now you're an activist
for old people.
It's ridiculous.
All right, so MTN are going to drop data prices. This is good news. MTN will be reducing its data prices on Friday. This comes after the telecoms giant reached a deal with the Competition Commission. So it's not because they're good people. It's because they had to. No, let's be fair. MTN are not your friend.
It's not a big
problem. Yeah, let's have a party because MTN are dropping their data prices because they're so nice. They're doing it because they were forced to at gunpoint by the Competition Commission because they were scalping ordinary consumers. And so have Vodacom and Cell C been doing for the longest time. So last year, the commission announced that data prices from the country's mobile networks are overpriced. Surprise, surprise. MTN customers can now expect to pay just 99 Rand for a gig of data a month. That's still too expensive, but there we go.
That's 50 bucks or 60 bucks off. It was 149. Yeah, I'm with MTN.
See how much they could cut off? A third of the price. They could cut a third and they're still making money. Just think about how they've had a license to print money. Since 19, when was it that this whole thing started? What, 93, 92, 93, that mobile phones started in this country. So users will be able to manage their data at no additional cost through the company's website. But good for MTN that they've decided to do it. All I hear is crickets from the others. Huh? You?
No, they're busy. They're offline.
Yeah, they're busy. They've got lawyers sitting in rooms. That's what they're doing.
That's exactly.
You know, when people are running and getting lawyers into rooms at times like these, you know they're probably crooked. And I don't think that's an unfair thing to say. That's from ENCA.
And remember a couple of months ago when some sort of a data decrease was announced and we all got a little excited because we thought that it would also put pressure to the other networks to have to decrease their data prices.
Yes.
And nothing ever happened there. So I don't mean to be negative.
I went to Parliament. I went and presented to Minister, what was her name? Kubai, anyway, she's now small business. And, you know, she's a professional politician. And she pretended to listen to me for a whole 10 minutes.
And then?
Well, obviously nothing happened.
Yeah, she's a politician. That's her job.
That's her job. She just pretends to listen and then nothing happens. Anyway, she was the Minister of Communications at the time, and I actually went to Parliament and I presented to Parliament on how our data prices are too high in South Africa and that we need to lower those prices so that people can start online businesses. And I cited this place as an example. So, I mean, here we are celebrating our sixth birthday and we've already been to Parliament. We've already changed the lives of hopefully not just the people who work here, but the people who listen to us. Are we connected, by the way, on the phone? I'm trying to see if we can get those messages.
We're getting it going.
Okay. All right. Wow. What a disaster. Trying to figure out how those messages work. We're back in the studio this morning, so if it sounds slightly different, that's the reason. Sia is joining us via Skype from his house in Durban, where he's been broadcasting for the last 5 weeks, just like the rest of us.
You said the Sangweni Mansion earlier.
The Sangweni Mansion, the Fair Trade Independent Tobacco Association, that's FITA, says it will be proceeding with legal action concerning the government's decision to ban the sale of cigarettes. On Wednesday night, the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, said smoking posed great risks. This after President Cyril Ramaphosa said sales would be allowed from the 1st of May. I think it's probably that a promise was broken that upsets people more than, because to me it's not about cigarettes. I don't smoke, so I don't care. And I'm sure for many of us not. In fact, probably all those people who are furious online, a tiny percentage of them are probably smokers because the rest of us feel a promise has been broken. And while we don't ever expect politicians to tell the truth, in a time of crisis, telling the truth is really important because otherwise you lose public goodwill. So according to the National Coronavirus Command Council, they've decided against selling cigarettes, but apparently these guys are going to take them to court, the Fair Trade Independent Tobacco Association, and I hope they win. In fact, we should be taking government to court on all of these regulations, so that we can actually figure out in a court of law with some evidence what the best possible way to deal with this is going to be going forward. And we can't just let government make rules and take away our constitutional rights, frankly. So good for the Tobacco Association. I hope they win. Western Cape pupils will not be returning to school next week. Parents are beside themselves at the moment over this. Follows a briefing by the Department of Basic Education, which is a very basic department. Tentative dates for the reopening of schools across the country. The provincial department says the dates are not definite and don't constitute an official announcement. So why bother saying anything? Provincial officials said the briefing made to Parliament's Basic Education Portfolio Committee has caused confusion and anxiety for schools, teachers, and parents. And then Minister Angie Motshekga expected to make an official announcement on Thursday. But don't expect anything from her. They couldn't even work the conference technology when they had their press conference the other day. And hey, I mean, I'm not going to say that we're experts at that either.
It hasn't been a good week for the Department of Education, because even her presentation yesterday, Angie Motshekga's presentation, was a little lukewarm. Mm-hmm. And given their other presentation that they bombed, that online one on Wednesday, and then they also sent out a press release. Mind you, again, it's from the Department of Basic Education, a press release with so many typos. And you think, oh, these are the people we entrust with our education.
Terrible.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
not good.
I know. We are double geese indeed. I know Bulelo's trying to get our phone lines working. 0797482090. It's our sixth birthday today. CliffCentral.com. That's why I'm in the studio, despite the fact that we've been doing the show from various locations over the last 5 weeks. And it's also just to let you know that the world is still there. If you haven't been out at all in 5 weeks, then I'm bearing witness to the fact that the roads are still there, the lights are still on, there are still offices that are operating. There were people on the road this morning. There were delivery trucks. You can order takeaways today again for the first time in ages. Yeah. For some people, that's going to be like an adventure, because we haven't had it for so long, right?
Do you think people are going to take a wild swing in like life changes, or just back to normal? Because people aren't good at changing.
Well, how many days does it take to break a habit? I've heard varying reports. Yeah. Some people say 14, some people say 28, some people say 40.
But do you think, like, because all of a sudden now everyone's apparently an exercise freak. Oh my God, I can only go out from 6 to 9. Like, no, Susan, you weren't doing anything before.
Yeah. Susan. Yeah. I thought it was Karen.
This country.
Oh, my God. All right, here's one last story in the headlines for this morning. Is anyone upset that they didn't have the Oscars?
The what?
Exactly.
Do they still have those?
Yeah. The organizers of the Oscars said on Tuesday, thank God for the Oscars. I must tell you, the people who organize the Oscars, what do they call them? The Academy.
Academy.
Those fucking people. That Academy should be on their knees sucking coronavirus dick at the moment, because they should be so happy that the coronavirus saved them from having to put on another stupid and embarrassing, politically correct, unentertaining marathon of self-congratulation for Hollywood.
Now, I know
none of us need that. Anyone need that in their life right now? Is anybody going, oh, hold on, what I need is more celebrities?
Okay, maybe Gal Gadot could do a remix, a second.
Anyone. Yeah, let's have them singing Imagine again, because that was so successful the first time.
God. Yeah, I know. But I heard they weren't going to have a host. It went that bad after they denied Kevin Hart, obviously. Was that last year?
Yeah, Kevin Hart was the one, and he said he would do it, and then they said, no, we can't have you, because somewhere in a tweet back in 2012, you said something which we've interpreted to be misogynistic.
So they were going to have no host. It's gone to that level.
They approached Jesus, but apparently he also said some things that were controversial, so he had to back off.
Wow,
blessed are the meek. That's going to cost you $2,000 later.
Yeah, well, what about the business owners? But I was talking about the meek. Die, Jesus, you must be inclusive.
Forgive them, for they not know what they know,
Father,
not what they say,
know what they do. What? Of course they know what they do. They must be responsible for their actions. Jesus, stop talking such nonsense.
Was Jesus a misogynist?
And Jesus, I've looked at the disciples, all white men.
Yeah.
No diversity there, Jesus. Not one woman and not one person of color.
Oh my God.
Right? This is what would happen if Jesus came now. People often go, why didn't Jesus decide to come in the year 2020, when he could make use of technology and spread his word far and wide, and he'd do some miracles on live TV, and, you know, it would impress a lot of people. And there's more people on earth now than there were then. I'll tell you what, Jesus looked at the rollout of time and he said, I reckon the best time to come is when they're all still stupid, half of them can't read, three quarters of them can't read. but at least the woke fuckers won't be there, and I'll be able to spread this message unhindered. Because if I come in 2020, they're going to ruin everything.
Jesus, huh?
Jesus,
do you think Jesus curses?
Have you ever seen that line in the Bible where Jesus says, "Go woke, go broke"?
Is that in James 3rd edition?
I think it's in it's in the Gospel of John. That's where it is somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Must be a later version. I haven't put that one up. No.
So here's the great news, everybody. Let's celebrate. You know what? We're looking for good reasons to smile and to feel better about ourselves. Brand new month has just rolled around. It's May and level 4, whatever that means. Here's some good reasons to smile this morning. The Oscars. Films released on streaming platforms or video on demand while movie theaters are closed due to the coronavirus pandemic will be eligible for the Academy Awards next year. Yay! Let's give a round of applause to the Academy for deciding that stuff that's streamed is as good as stuff that we have to go to a theater and sit in some filthy seat and watch with popcorn messed all over the place.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
Go ahead, Sia.
I'd like to thank this Academy for this award. It means so much to the jurors for taking their time to, you know, just appreciate my art like this. I'd also like to thank my good friend Harvey.
Harvey Weinstein. Yes, Harvey. God bless him, because he got me this Oscar. All I had to do was strip down to my panties and let him touch me inappropriately and while he jerked off into a pot plant.
Harvey, you've touched me in places in my spirit.
That's a good speech, sir. That would be a good speech. But you know, I was thinking, like, what would make me watch the Oscars again is if someone like Natalie Portman or Nicole Kidman or one of those, you know, those A-grade actresses, if they had to stand up there and explain, as their acceptance speech, explain what they did to Harvey. Because we've heard what Harvey did to all these women, and he's going to jail for it, and rightly so.
Yeah.
But I want to know about those women who were in his movies and who he promised would get an Oscar, and when they did get an Oscar, what they did in return. If they gave that speech, then I would watch the Oscar. Man, you would have the highest ratings ever.
Well, I just want to say that even though I got this for my acting, the greatest acting I ever did was to not throw up while Harvey Weinstein played with his disgusting little micro penis in front of me. Thank you so much to the Academy.
Oh my God, you're amazing, Nicole.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
That's one thing that would make me watch. The other thing would be if we got a Nicole Kidman and Natalie Portman to fight in like a UFC fight for the Oscar.
Yes.
So if you're nominated, the only way to win it
is to fight each
other. Is to fight each other in a cage with no rules.
Right.
Yeah.
I just got a very nice message from Anthony Medderer, who is my co-host on our series Blind History, which is an award-winning series and has it's brought more downloads than any other podcast series we've ever done. So, Anthony, thank you. He just says, happy birthday to Cliff Central and the whole team. We have really enjoyed our successful journey together and hope there will be much more to come. No more bullshit. Yes. Maybe it's time before we go to a song. Absolutely. Before we go to a song this morning, because we've already been yakking for an hour, let's just take a moment to celebrate no more bullshit, shall we? That's right. Everybody, join the party. No more bullshit. Yes.
No more bullshit.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. No more bullshit. Uh-huh. That's right. So we are here to celebrate our birthday, and we hope that you will be celebrating with us no matter where you are in the country or in the world right now. Thank you for being a part of our story so far. I always say that, and I know this sounds like a sales pitch, and I do use it in sales pitch situations, but honestly, when I left FM radio, I traded in 1,000 of those listeners for every one CliffCentral.com listener that we had. At the beginning, obviously our audience has grown since then, and it was the single best trade exchange I've ever done in my life. I wouldn't go back for anything in the world.
CliffCentral.com